Well, hello, Lighthouse family. I want to have a message today on benefits of a grateful spirit. This message was really inspired by Pat Vess and her husband, Barry. They're dear saints. They've been pillars of faith for many years. And even though at times there's struggles, Pat and Barry always have a grateful heart. They serve with love and compassion. And so this message really just was inspired by this family. So I hope it's a blessing to you. We want to thank you for your faithfulness in giving. If you do need envelopes, like who'd ever think that we'd be gone this long, just let Lynn know and we'll mail some to your house. We appreciate your generosity and your giving. It's a real blessing. Right now we're set on food. If you need food box or somebody you know, we do have toilet paper. Don't be shy, we have some available. And next Wednesday, the 29th, at 7 o'clock, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to do a Facebook Live that day. We'll do a prayer and devotion, so if you can gather your family at 7 there, we'll have a quick time of corporate prayer. I have a little devotion on prayer, and we'll come against this virus and see it done so we can get back to our normal schedule, as it were. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 118, verse 1. This is benefits of a grateful spirit. In Psalm 118, verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever." Anytime the enemy tries to paint God as different than good, come against it. For he is good. He is always good all the time. He cannot be bad. He is good. The enemy will try to paint a picture that God is mean, or he brings this upon people, or. But the truth is that he is good. We live in a sin-cursed world, but he's the only one that redeemed us out of it. We're the ones that messed up, not him. Many times there's some reaping and sowing involved here. But when it comes to the Lord, if we always keep that perspective that he is good, it really makes a big difference. When it comes to benefits, number one, first benefit of a grateful spirit, it increases your personal happiness. Sometimes we've been taught that we're happy because of what we get, but reality, happiness is determined by our attitude. From prison, Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Happiness is really determined by our perspective in life, not our circumstance. If we learn to be grateful people despite our circumstance, we can greatly improve our happiness. Second benefit of a grateful spirit, it improves our witness for Christ. In 1 Peter 2, verse 12, "Having our conversation honest amongst the Gentiles, which we speak against you as evildoers, that by your good works they shall behold and glory in God's day of visitation." I know that if we're having a powerful witness, we need to be grateful. And the world will take notice. You can tell real quick when somebody's really down or negative. How about some today speaking the word of life? That God is good. Third benefit of a grateful spirit, it enhances our relationship. Not only a better relationship in the church, but with one another, with your family, with your friends. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8, Paul said this, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, that your faith is spoken of throughout all the world." 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace which is given by Jesus Christ." Ephesians 1, 6, Philippians 1, 3, Colossians 1, 3. If you notice, there's a pattern here that Paul starts all his epistle letters out with praise, with thanksgiving. I believe that's a good remedy for our prayer life too, that we should start off with thanksgiving. Think for a moment what God has done. Think for a moment and be thankful. It opens the heart, but it also opens that ways to God, that all of a sudden we're connected with him. I believe in heaven we're all going to be happy, no doubt about it. But here on earth, man, we need to progress and speak this. Fourth benefit of a grateful spirit, it joins our hearts to God. In Hebrews 12, verse 25, See that you refuse him that speak from heaven. For they escape not who refused him who spoke from heaven. How shall we escape if we turn away from him? Notice that if we speak, we need to live it. But if we refuse him, how shall we escape? We need to thank God that, Lord, our hearts are knit with you. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to hear from heaven. I don't want to refuse him that speaks from heaven. That when we're thankful, we have a grateful spirit, it really unites us together with him. Because Jesus is thankful. He is. He thanked the Father. There's scripture references. And he thanks God for us even. Even though that we have failed, he thanks God for us. His desire was to bring us into his kingdom, and throughout eternity, we will praise him. Throughout eternity, we will thank him and worship him. That soon, all this stuff that's happening now, one day will fade away. And if you think about it, we're going to have an eternity with God. We can't make this a lifetime here. We have to look and say, this too will pass. But my relationship with the Lord, my time with him, that'll be eternal. When we start to develop thanksgiving in our lives, we need to have ways. One way that I realize is this: everything we have is from God. To develop ways of thanksgiving, we need to look in Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell in it. When I look and say, God, you own it all, it's a good feeling. It's like, man, the Lord owns it all. He owns everything. That everything that people have, this is his earth. Now, I know we pay taxes and we pay taxes on land and da-da-da-da. But the truth is that the earth is the Lord's. And everything, and one day in Revelation, he's going to redeem the earth again, bring it back totally under subjection. But in my heart, Lord, it's all yours. I thank you that you've given me a portion that I can enjoy. I thank you for a family. I thank you for the church family. But Lord, everything is yours. When you make him Lord of all in this area, it's great to have thanksgiving. It really works. To develop ways of thanksgiving, this, we need to realize that every good gift comes from God himself. When you receive something, thank the Lord for it. In James 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. Every gift of the Spirit comes from him. The Lord just flows through us, but those giftings from God, the unction, the anointing, it's all from the Lord. Even the words we speak to lead somebody to Christ, he wrote it down. We just speak what he's given us. When I look and see that every good gift, well, man, we can realize that it's a good gift. If something's evil or out of place, there's out of order, that's not of the Lord. We have to look and say, every good gift comes from above. I personally feel the more we exercise the gifts of the Spirit, allow them to operate, I believe the more people are going to come to know Christ. It unlocks that supernatural. It unlocks the hearts. And Jesus many times just spoke a word of wisdom or word of knowledge, and it opened the door for more change. I realize this, there are hindrances when we're trying to be thankful. Complaining is the arch enemy of thanksgiving. The two cannot exist in the same heart. Complaining never changes anything. In fact, it amplifies the frustration. In Philippians 2, verse 14, do everything without complaining. Do everything without murmuring or disputing. When I look at that scripture, if we just live this verse, our lives will change. I want to get to that place. I haven't arrived yet, but I want to get to that place where I can do everything without complaining. And there are times you're going to be stretched. There are times that you're not going to like a certain situation, or you may be called on to do something extraordinary, or you may be just ready to go to sleep and you don't feel like it. Many times when you're called upon to be a servant, it's usually there's a little struggle with it. Usually there's some effort needs to be put towards it. But I've learned this, if you push through those times of the flesh, when you don't feel like it, there's a greater reward. And I've never seen anybody regret blessing somebody in truly in their hearts. pride, a critical spirit, carelessness, all come hindrances in this area. But I want to have a heart where the two don't. Complaining and praising aren't there. I want to have just a heart of praise. I want to have that developed. I want to have it in me that, man, when you're squeezed, what comes out is love and joy, not bitterness and envy and strife. There's some ways to develop thanksgiving in our lives is this. Discipline yourself to give thanks. Start to look and say, you know what? I'm going to give God thanksgiving first, then others. It's like, take a month and not complain. Do it. Take a month and say, you know what? I'm not going to let any complaining come out of my mouth. When I look at this here, I wrote this down a little while ago, but I rewrote it here. A good acronym for joy is this: Jesus first, others second, yourself last. J-O-Y. Well, I want to live that out. When I look at my life, I want to have a life that I'm thankful without complaining. It's easy to complain, isn't it? It's easy to grumble. It's easy to do this. And all of us have those moments. There are some times you can realize if you still got flesh around, when somebody cuts you off or takes your parking space or somebody does something that irritates you, you can see like there's some areas you need to die to self with. In Ephesians 5 verse 18 says this, Ephesians 5, 19. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. We need to change what we speak and interject this into there. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Well, if I speak to him in psalms and hymns, notice that it's flowing out. And out of that river, our life begins to change. And if there's anything in there, any bitterness, any complaining, any envy, any strife, it begins to wash that out. Notice that you open your mouth in those things. We just can't just think it either. Because sometimes you can think some terrible things. But we need to speak it too. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have conversations with people. But in those private times, maybe there's a idle time here or driving in your car, have some rehearsing there. I know this for a fact. If I sing a song to the Lord, my wife's with me soon, she begins to sing the song. It begins to stick there. It begins to get catchy, as it were. And you know, you'll go through the day that way. Well, what a blessing it would be that the fruit of our lips giving thanks. Worship service, when it comes to church time, doesn't start when we get here. When the music amps up, somebody leads. No, it should start when we're at home. Then on our way here, bring the praise into the house. I believe more miracles will manifest when we bring that presence in the house. We're already worship. That way, if the power quits, I remember several years ago, we were having a service and all the power went out. Everything went dead. Nothing worked. No instruments, nothing. No lights are on, no heat, no nothing. But we still had an awesome service because the Spirit of God was here. That's what we need. We need to be, Lord, guide us, lead us, help us. But we're going to bring the praise. We're going to have our praise on, as it were. I want to ask you a few things here and questions. Do you tend to talk more about your blessings or disappointments? Are you a complainer? Do you grumble? Do you always find fault with circumstances? Are you confident of what you have? Are you satisfied or are you always wanting more? Do you find it easier to count your blessings or your afflictions? Do you express thanks to others that help you or do you just take advantage of and say, yeah, they owe me? Would you say that you're a thankful person? With these questions here, I want you to ask yourself, do you tend to look at your blessings or your disappointments? Do you look for grumbling or finding fault? Are you content with what you have? Do you find it easier to count your blessings or afflictions? Do you express thanks to others for helping you or do you just feel like it's due to you? Would you say you're a thankful person? When I looked at these questions, I even looked at my own heart. Lord, am I a thankful person? Lord, help me to be that. I haven't arrived like I shared earlier. But I want to be a thankful person. Now, I don't thank God for what's going on today out there. I don't like it as much as the rest of you. But I thank God that he's going to see us through. He's not the author of sickness or disease. As a church, we're going to be coming against this on next Wednesday. I know that's difficult when we're not all together, but I believe that each one of us can have a time in our homes with our families, bow our heads. And corporate prayer, I believe, will bust this through. I really believe it. I believe corporate prayer can change a nation. It can change a world. When I start to look at my life, I need to remember that past victories bring joy. We need to rehearse those things. We need to start looking and say, Lord, I thank you that you delivered me. Like David said, you delivered me from the bear. You delivered me from the giant, the lion. How about this Philistine? In Psalm 107, verse 1 says this, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And in verse 8 in Psalm 107 says this, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. I'm going to say that again. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. When Jesus, even when he brought about revelation, he said to the Father, I thank you that you haven't revealed these to the mighty, the noble, but unto these babes, as he was looking at his disciples. For they were receiving the words of life. When I look at Scripture, I have several Bibles, several versions of it. I thank God that he gives me a Bible, that I have the Word of God. It is so comforting for me to know that these are what God has spoken. These are the examples he wants us to follow. The revelation he gives through the Scriptures. The reveal himself. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book that you can know me. That if we spend that time in that Word, we can know him in the power of the resurrection. But also, let's finish the verse. Be acquainted with the suffering that comes with living Christ Jesus. And I've learned this. When you suffer in the flesh, you're ceasing from sin. That doesn't mean like you got a nail in your hand. But the truth is denying self brings about a whole lot. Sometimes there's persecution from your family or friends. But we need to be thankful. When I started looking for examples, many of you know that the 10 lepers were cleansed. But only one came back and thanked him. Why didn't the other 9? I often wondered about that. Leprosy being one of those severe diseases, many times the body would be rotting as you're living. Limbs would be falling off. You were isolated. You had to cry unclean to the public. You couldn't be with family or friends or go to church. And many times you'd be just in a colony of other people with the same problems. And yet Jesus faced that. He wasn't afraid to pray for people who were ill. He wasn't afraid at all. He brought them up, and all 10 were cleansed. What I love about the Lord is that he just doesn't have power for one person to heal. He can do 10. He can do 100. He can do 1,000. He can do 1,000,000. There's no limit on how much power the Lord has. When you look at them all 10 were cleansed. I have to believe that if they looked down and saw their skin like brand new, whatever was decayed was changed. Why did just one come back? Even in the world, even people who don't know the Lord, many times can be grateful. They can be thankful for something done. Many times you do things for people, you know, hey. But only one came back. They were all cleansed. And when I look at this, if we don't have thanksgiving in our hearts, we can have some great things done and still not really thank the Lord, even if it's physical health. When I look at Jesus, he's a blessing in life. He also carries our burdens in this life. There are times the Apostle Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He's saying in the midst of this. Now, he doesn't thank God for problems. But he says in the midst of them, I thank God that this problem is going to make me stronger. Because God's power is going to intervene. We need that also right now. We need to look to the Lord and say, Jesus, I need your help, that his strength can be made mature or perfect in this time of weakness, that we don't have to bear this alone. We have the Lord. We belong to him. For some of you, I know that's affected your employment. My heart goes out. Believe me. We have things at the church. If we can help, we want to make it available. But I'm praying that God's sustaining power will reach down into that, that there'll be no lack among us, not one sick among us. I want to have the Lord to work, that everything that the Lord does is for the furtherance of the gospel. In Philippians 1 verse 12, it says this, "Brethren, I want you to understand that everything that has happened to me has fallen for the furtherance of the gospel." There's an excellent opportunity to be that powerful witness today, to speak words of life, to hold forth that word, that our God is not the God of this world. Our God is Lord of all. As a Christian, we need to keep growing in thanksgiving. It shows that we're maturing. It shows that we're enduring. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8, "There's trouble on every side, yet we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair." If there's anyone who can speak, that was the Apostle Paul. He suffered many things for the gospel. But his example, he led forth that we can do the same. It's like we need to start now to be thankful, to work through those things. And I know for a fact, if you've ever thanked your mom and dad, or children, if you're listening to this, thank your mom and dad. Many times you may not understand as you're growing up what they're going through or have to deal with, but thank them. Have a time to hug your family. Have a time of devotion together. The other day I was reading a couple testimonies that families are having a little worship time together before the word's preached on Sunday. Do that. Grab your family and say, you know, we're going to sing a few songs under our King, and then be ready for the word. If we're thankful, it's a great place to be, because I've always spoke this. When you become unthankful, usually the next step is unholy. So let's be thankful, church. Let's cultivate that within us, and let's speak for that victory. Because we're thankful, the power of God is at work. For all of you, I thank God for you. As Lynn and I and the pastoral staff here, Mark and Jill, our board here, we thank God for you, church. I look forward to being able to see your faces and not just empty blue chairs. But God is good, so we'll endure for this light affliction for a moment, and then one day face to face. As we close in prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you're with us. God, we want to be thankful people, Lord, in all that we do. Lord, truly to count our blessings, to look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith, that, Lord, you own it all. And, Lord, we thank you that every victory we've already had has been brought by your hand, that, Lord, you're not going to leave us now, that, Lord, you're going to perform your word. So, Father, we speak against this virus, dried up in the land, in Jesus' name. Strengthen our leadership in this country, O God. Father, for those that are afflicted, raise them up from their affliction. And Lord, we speak amongst the Lighthouse family, not one sick among us, in Jesus' name. Our extended families, not sick, one sick among us. No plague will come near our dwelling, in Jesus' name. And Father, we speak the victory today, that today we're going to cultivate that heart of thanksgiving. Lord, we want to be inspired by you like I was by Pat Vess and her husband. Lord, we want to be thankful to you, Lord, in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.